Hello and thanks for taking the time to download and listen to a podcast on CelticUnderground.net. I'm Harry Brady and this is a podcast about an utter disaster. I really don't know where to start, end and finish about this podcast coming up, so I'll leave that to myself and a new contributor to the podcast, but regular readers of the site may have seen his blogs about tactics and formations, Mr. Jack Lyons. Really don't know what to say about it. I hope you're having a good summer, and hopefully this was a blip and things will go on from better from here from Mr. Brendan Rogers. Meantime, you know what to do if you want to get your music on the podcast. What you're listening to just now is at Room 42. And if you want to get your stuff on the podcast, if you email podcasts, that's plural podcast, podcasts at CelticUnderground.net. So this is Room 42, say my name, and there'll be more stuff at the end on the website, links as to how you can download the new music. Meantime, this is me, Harry Brady, with him, Jack Lyons. Look, I can hit it like a home run ninth inning. Las Vegas, my city, hope you like sinning. No preference, love the dark and the white women. Room 4-2 in it if you like stripping. You gorgeous, something like tonight. Say, let it get too warm, feeling kind of naughty. Fluent when it comes to the language. Body, we can speak it to. So I'm joined now by Jack Lyons. And what we're going to do is we're going to just briefly talk on Celtic's 10-0 win over the part-timers from Gibraltar, and then talk more in general about Brendan Rodgers. Or at least that was the plan until the worst result in my lifetime. It is my birthday today. I am 46, so my lifetime is 46 years. So the worst result in 46 years at least. So, Jack, what did you think of the game?
It was an unusual start to Rodgers' reign, not quite exactly what we were expecting. Or not even close to it. I mean, after all the build-up and all the excitement about the new manager, and there was so many things in that game that you can just say, yeah, I remember that under Ronnie Dyla. You know, you can say toothless performance and players played out of position. There's certainly one or two comments about that on Twitter, and yeah, not quite what we were expecting as a start.
So let's try and calmly look at things. First up, you say about players put about a session. What did you think when you saw the starting lineup?
I was unsurprised. Obviously, going by the lineups that we've seen in the friendlies, that was the same roughly starting lineup that we've seen in the last two games that played about an hour or so. So I was expecting that. first thing that came to mind really was Roberts. Obviously, he's been a good signing and one of the most exciting sort of players at the club. And the first few games, it looks like there's not a place for him. Obviously, there's the accommodation of Griffiths and Dembele, which is kind of the cause for that. But it's interesting that Rodgers hasn't found a place for him in the team. Other than that, wasn't surprised Johansson was out. Rodgick seems like a natural replacement in the game. So yeah.
What would you say was the formation that was being fielded that started the game?
Oh, it was 4-2-3-1. It was the exact formation that we saw for the last 2 years. It was Brown and Beaton with Rodgick just in front, two wide players coming inside, and the one up front. It was exactly what we've been used to, which is it's different from what we've seen in the friendlies, which has been more of a 4-3-3. I think that's maybe just personnel that, you know, Johansson is more of a number eight, so to speak, whereas Rodgick is someone that plays higher up the pitch. And so I think that was just the natural move considering the personnel that was picked.
So let's go through the personnel. Number one, Craig Gordon. Any comments about his performance?
Don't really remember seeing him that much because, with the exception of you know, they had a bit of a spell in the second half after the goal, but there was not much that went on target. So apart from the goal, we never really had many saves to make. We spent most of the game in their half, so he's probably going to be the guy that gets the least criticism out of the whole team, just purely because he wasn't involved.
So next up are two fullbacks, Janko and Tierney.
I like Janko. Janko's been quite impressive in pre-season, and the same goes for Tierney. Weren't great. They weren't standout, awful players, but the problem seems to be similar with Janko for me as that it does with Tierney, is that they're two guys who are, they're good defenders, they're quick, they're strong in one-on-ones, they're decent in the final third, but when it comes to building up play and when we're in possession, which obviously tonight was 75% of the game, they struggle. They don't have, they're not excellent technicians. They don't have good, you know, or their weakest parts of their game are when we're building up the play. Technically, they're not amazing. Their strengths lie in the final and our defensive third and our attacking third, but in the middle third, they don't do as well, and that was generally the case tonight as well.
And then from those two, we move in to Effie Ambrose and Svechenko.
Yeah. I think Ambrose is going to be the talking point, isn't he? It was poor at the goal, but I think it's Ambrose, and so if he's going to play, and he's probably still the best option we've got given the injuries and the guys that we've got in the squad, he's probably still the best option alongside Svechenko.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people talking about Ambrose playing, and my gut feel about it is, well, Boyata's injured. I've forgotten his name now, the Croatian boy.
Simunovic
is injured. Mulgrew is injured. And no matter what you say, we should be able to play those players, including Effie Ambrose, and beat a team of part-timers from Gibraltar.
Oh, that was, I said that after the game, and the whole, you know, the punditry on BT was, the line was, Rodgers is going to have to say to the board, it's time to get the checkbook out. And I'm thinking, really? Like, you've got a team full of international players and top young, you know, really good young players, guys like Christie and Tom Rogic and guys like that, and we're really saying, oh, we need better players to beat teams like this. I don't think that's the issue, and that goes for Ambrose as well, as much as he's always got a mistake in him, but he's leaps and bounds ahead of any guy on their team.
So, what do you think the problem is then?
Well, obviously, and I've seen bits and pieces of what Rodgers has said after the game, and he's came out with the usual, you know, the pitch is dodgy, the weather's too, you know, it's hot. We're early in pre-season, and I'm thinking, well, you can't really use the weather as an excuse, because we've just spent 2 weeks in Slovenia in similar conditions playing games against better teams, albeit friendlies, but not miles apart in terms of the situation of, you know, the weather. And
yeah, and it may have been friendlies, but those teams are leaps and bounds better than the opposition we're playing tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Teams like Maribor and was it Ljubljana, who are the champions of that league, are, you know, far better than the team that we played. And as for the pre-season thing, well, I mean, I saw last week after the Aberdeen game, and people were talking about, you know, early in pre-season, and I was the first one to say, listen, Luxembourg has the exact same calendar as we do. That's not an excuse, and it's the same tonight. Gibraltar play in August to May season, so they're in the same position. Not to mention the fact that they're part-time guys. So even if you got the guys back on the first day from their holidays, the Celtic players, they should probably still be in better condition than the Lincoln players at their peak level.
I mean, it's you know, you read all the, as you say, you read everybody on Twitter and everybody's given their opinion. And yes, we do need to, a change of personnel. We do need some different players at the club. However, I keep getting back to the point you've just made. You should be able to pick any 11 people from the Celtic first 11 and the Celtic development squad, and they should be better, fitter than these guys, because this is the Celtic players' full-time jobs and these guys are part-timers.
Yeah.
And they play in the Gibraltar League.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's a part-time league and a part-time team. And these guys are, you know, I saw one that some guy finished his shift at, in the pub at 5 o'clock tonight and then came and played against us. Don't know if that's just one of these, you know, kind of myth. Yeah, but you wouldn't be surprised. Guys, if they've got jobs, then there's every chance that they could be working.
There was a cross that Christy put in just 2 or 3 minutes before halftime.
I remember the exact one.
And as he ballooned it miles out of nowhere, the camera then panned in on him. He looked like what he is. He looked like a guy from the Highlands who'd just been parachuted into 40 degrees temperature. His face was scarlet.
Yeah, I know. I thought that myself at the time. He just, like you say, he just looked like he was never played in conditions like that. He spent his whole life playing in the north of Scotland, and then all of a sudden he's playing in 40 degree heat in the height of summer in the Mediterranean.
But as you say, he's just come off a week to 10 days in the same temperatures in mainland Europe. So yeah.
Slovenia, they were talking about 30 degrees. They're doing double sessions, apparently, over there through the day. So there's no excuse for the weather or the just being a couple of weeks into pre-season. Obviously, the pitch isn't great, but it's not a good excuse. Like, it's not so bad that it's a reason to lose a team like that. Like,
no, I mean, the pitch looked as slow as treacle, and the heat was horrendous. I wouldn't expect to be able to pick. I would expect that if I picked a junior football team to play on, you know, and people say what that type, that's a leveller, the conditions are a leveller. I would expect any Scottish junior team to go across there, play Celtic and get horsed on that pitch in those temperatures.
Yeah, of course. Of course, it's, I don't know, I think we talk about, you know, people said the reasons I've seen given are, like I said, the weather, the pitch, not being fit, and then we've got Ambrose as a reason. Why is Griffiths out wide is a question. And these things are all like, when you see Griffiths out wide, for example, in pre-season, and it looked not perfect for him, but workable. You know, he likes to, up front, he's strongest when he drops off onto the right-hand side and comes in, and he likes to shoot with his left foot. It was a decent fit. It reminded me of Stokes playing on the left, where it wasn't perfect, but he wasn't being thrown in as something he couldn't do. It just, the kind of excuses that I've seen were kind of not the problems that I've seen during the game. But yeah, the problems I've seen on the pitch were different to what people were saying after the game.
So you exactly, and people are, understandably, we've watched 2 years of those same players playing roughly the same system, and we have seen when they've not performed. It's been the same non-performance from many of those players. However, I keep getting back to, someone jokingly said you could have picked 11 Celtic season book holders at random and they would have won this game. Now, obviously that they never saw the 7-11 Celtic season book holders who played in the foundation tournament in 19. However, if the principle of that is correct, then the principle is, yes, you can bemoan the fact that Effie Ambrose has got an excuse and has got a mistake in him every game, and yes, you can bemoan the fact that Wise Griffiths is playing out wide and Dembele through the middle and things like that, but the basic fact is, Celtic should be beating that team if we decide to play Sadie Yanko wide right instead of as a right back, or Tierney through the middle instead of as a left back, because they're all better players.
Yeah, what I thought when people were talking about Ambrose was, and yeah, you know, because it's 1-0 and he makes a bit of a mistake on the, but see, in reality, if the rest of the team perform as they should going forward, then we should probably put 4 or 5 goals past them. And if that happens, then we win 5-1 and we raise eyebrows and go, effie.
Yeah, I mean, getting back to that, your point there about if the team had done what they were supposed to do going forward, we had, there was, what was it, the stat came up with 10 minutes to go, Celtic had 75% possession.
Yeah.
Now, I can think of the Chief G header, the Griffiths free kick that then Beaton seemed to take an age to decide he needed to control it and then not able to do it. Can't really think of many other golden chances that we didn't take.
And those weren't even golden chances.
No.
Griffiths was a free kick from outside the box, and as a point that anyone who's ever seen me on Twitter will probably have seen, headers are much harder to score than people think. You know, you get headers from prime central areas free, and the percentage of the time that they actually go in is much lower than you would imagine. So it's a header and it's a decent chance, but it's not an amazing chance. And the same Griffiths is a free kick from outside the box. We didn't really create a single one where you thought, I should have scored there.
We were doing, and obviously you've been writing, you write stuff on systems and the way teams set up and play. Under Ronnie Dyla, our poorest games. Under Neil Lennon, our poorest games. Under Gordon Strachan, our poorest games. Under those three managers in particular, our poorest games were when a team sat in and we just decided to pass, we would just decide to pass the ball about at a very pedestrian rate.
Absolutely. And I think one of the problems I noticed tonight was, and Brown and Beaton, and I've got time for both of them as players, but when you have a game like that and those are the two guys that, they're not the guys that create the chances, but the guys that you're looking to get the ball from the defence and get us into dangerous positions, and they just can't do it. Brown and Beaton, they don't. See, when you watch Brown and Beaton, especially in a game like that tonight, and you'll get Beaton, he'll get the ball from Sviatchenko, pass it to Brown, Brown out to Janko, Janko will play it back to Brown, Brown across to Beaton, out to Tierney, and back and forth and back and forth. And never Brown and Beaton finding Rogic and whoever it may be, Christie, Armstrong on the night in those spaces. And what happened was when he came on, Armstrong was coming in and basically playing on top of those guys because they weren't finding anyone further up the pitch.
Yep.
So he was coming in, and then you've got 5-6 guys who are no further than the Lincoln midfield. So then Armstrong comes out, and he's your central attacking midfielder. So then there's no one there to receive the ball. So Armstrong's coming in, but he's got no one to pass to because the guy who is should be in the position to receive it is him. And, I mean, I thought during the game, and when I was watching the first half, and the first half is largely the same as the second half, and the two players that I thought, you know, these are the guys that we want to see are the two guys who didn't come on in terms of McGregor and Roberts.
I mean, there's always a possibility that Roberts has got a niggle at the moment. And again, much as people talked about the team beforehand, and we'll talk post as to why Rodgers picked that team, whatever team, Rodgers should be able to pick any 11 from our squad to comfortably win that game. So I'm not saying this is the case, but maybe Roberts has got a niggle and injury, and if I'm Brendan Rodgers, I'm thinking, right, okay, well, any of our 11 will win this game, so I'm not going to play Roberts because I want him to get through this niggling injury that he's got. Either that, or he doesn't fancy Roberts.
Well, if the theory about some kind of niggle or, you know, a knock or something that he's got, then if he's going to be on the bench, then when else for than being 1-0 down against a team that's sitting in deep? you know, if he's injured, why even have him on the bench if you're not going to bring him on anyway, you know? As in terms of what he doesn't fancy him, or I don't know if it is the just that when he's thinking, I want to get Griffiths and Dembele in the team, so Griffiths is going to have to play on the right. That looks like the only kind of workable way to get it in terms of a front three, or a, you know, a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. Then he's thinking, where else do I play Roberts? I don't know if that's the thinking there.
But I would have thought in a 4-3-3, then Dembele, Griffiths, Roberts is your front three.
I mean, that was what I thought, but I'm not sure if maybe he thinks none of those three are suited to playing on the left-hand side, that Roberts and Griffiths, if they're playing in wide positions, overwhelmingly their strengths are coming inside onto their left foot. Whereas someone like Christie maybe is stronger on the outside as well. You know, we're talking about what Rodgers might or might not see. But I just thought, if he's on the bench, Roberts, then you have to assume he's fit to play. And the substitutions, you know, I thought, you know, you've got, they're compact, they're defending fairly well, especially for a team of their stature. They're defending quite well. There's not a lot of space, and Roberts is one of the best players in small, intricate spaces. You know, Griffiths has got his strengths on the right-hand side, but he's not someone who's going to pick it up and do something excellent in a tiny bit of space unless it's in the middle of the box. And in terms of McGregor, I thought, like I said about Beton and Brown and just playing it side to side, when you see McGregor playing deep, and he played deep in all the friendlies, he is the only player in that squad who, in a deep position, will pick the ball up and play through a gap in the opposition's midfield. We are so guilty of out to the fullback, back across, out to the other fullback, without ever finding anyone in dangerous central positions further up the pitch.
So you commented earlier that it was more or less 4-2-3-1 tonight, yet Rodgers appears to have been playing 4-3-3 prior to tonight.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea why then he went 4-2-3-1 if he's been playing 4-3-3?
Maybe just the stature of the opposition, that 4-2-3-1, you've got the central player in the three, the number 10, if you like, has less defensive responsibility than either of those two guys in the three would. So it helps you get an extra player just that bit further up the pitch to create something. I think that would be the thinking. When I've been discussing with people, you know, how things will progress over the season. And I said I thought that we'll play 4-3-3 in Europe, but in games against weaker opposition, we're likely to see more of a 4-2-3-1, where you take a player who would play in the three and replace him with a number 10, you know, a luxury player, if you like, someone like Rodic or Allen, who maybe aren't great defensively, but they offer more in the attacking third. And so I think that was probably the thinking there, that slightly easier opposition, chance to put in Rodic, and Rodic's not really a 4-3-3 type guy.
So what team would you have started last night based on what we know of the current squad, tonight rather, what you know of the current squad and what you've seen of pre-season?
Probably the only change I would have made would have been to start McGregor ahead of Beaton, just based on the opposition, what the game was going to be like. You know, we could have all predicted that game was going to pan out the way it did in terms of us dominating the ball, trying to break them down. And so, you know, there wasn't a whole lot to do defensively, particularly in the first half, and McGregor just offers a bit more going forward from deep. And so that's probably the only change I would have made, given pre-season. I was impressed with Christie in pre-season. Griffiths worked well out wide when, you know, Johansson was out injured. Rodic seemed like a natural choice, given how he played last year. Mm-hmm. Could maybe make a case for someone like Allen, Henderson maybe even. But, you know, when that team came out, I thought, yeah, that's basically what I was expecting. And so, yeah, I would have preferred to see McGregor just because of the opposition, but I wasn't shocked by any manner of means.
So where do we go from here?
Hopefully upwards. Uh-huh. I'd like to think, obviously we've got a series of glamour friendly European tie for the next few weeks. Hopefully, you know, that'll, you know, playing against a high standard opposition will get the players sharper and, you know, that kind of thing. And you'd like to think that they'll come to Celtic Park next week and we'll beat them 4 or 5-0. 2-0 will do, to be honest. But you would imagine on a bigger pitch in our conditions, a big crowd, I would imagine, because it's on the season book, I think.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if this is true, but I'm almost certain that it's going to be Flag Day.
Yeah, I think it is Flag Day.
So, I mean,
obviously we're missing the first game of the season with one of our friendlies.
Yeah, in Milan, in Ireland. Yeah. So, yeah, so it's Flag Day, so there's going to be a big crowd. The conditions that suit us, a big pitch and a good pitch. So you would like to think that it's going to come and we're just going to be too much for them. That would be the assumption, and if it doesn't go that way, then I'll be quite surprised. When you look at under Dyla, his first game, and we struggled. That was Reykjavik, and we struggled, and McGregor scored in the last minute, and we won 1-0 over there.
Yep.
And then we played at Murrayfield, and we were just a class above them. I think we won 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looked like, yeah, this is kind of what we were expecting. And so I would imagine that's how it's going to go.
In terms of the system that Rodgers said, he's played 4-3-3, he played 4-2-3-1 tonight, and we saw what we got. What are you expecting from the type of team that Rodgers is going to put out, the way it's going to play?
I'm expecting what probably most people are expecting, which is, you know, everyone's seen a bit of Rodgers' teams. Especially, you know, he's got that philosophy about dominating the ball. So we're going to be dominating possession, playing some variation of 4-3-3, I would imagine. You know, he has, you know, at Liverpool, he went to a 3-5-2 and a 4-4-2 diamond points. But I would imagine the 4-3-3 is going to be that's his go-to formation. And I would imagine with the players at hand, that's probably the most suitable, I would say. So that's what I'm imagining we're going to see. In terms of the actual team, there's still a big question mark at centre-half. I don't think anyone's convinced to Ambrose.
I think most, reading Twitter tonight, I think most fans are convinced about Ambrose. They're convinced that Ambrose should never be in a Celtic jersey ever again.
Maybe that's a more accurate summation of it. So you've got Boyata and Simunovic, who they're still, people are definitely not sure about those two. I like Boyata. I think he's a good defender. He's not great passing wise. And Simunovic, the question marks over him are definitely the fact that he really lacks pace, and besides Viachenko, who is the same, that's not a good combination. And also the fact that whether it's just coincidence or whether he's actually injury prone, you know, are we going to be able to rely on him?
For me, that's the worry with him. You bring in a player who, when you sign him, he's injured. And then he hardly plays any games for you because he's injured after he comes back. It's your concern.
Yeah. He came in and then he was thrown straight in. His first game was Ajax away. I was because I remember I was at the game and a whole situation happened with our flights over there. And so I never even knew the team when I got to the stadium. And I started watching the game and I was like, who's that?
Yeah.
And then someone said, oh, it's Simunovic. So I'm sure that was his, but since then, we have seen so little of him. He picked up the injury in the game against Molde at home. Yeah, that was the Tyler Blackett game.
Yeah.
Must have only seen him 10 or 15 times.
I think that's it.
And for me, we have to find someone who can play on the left, because Sviatchenko is unconvincing. When we've got the ball, he's not excellent on the left hand side. And I've never been a fan of Charlie Mulgrew. I think he's a guy with a great skill set but doesn't know how to use it. For example, he's probably one of the best passers in the team, and when he plays at centre back, insists on launching these long diagonal balls.
Somebody's told him he can play killer long diagonal balls, so that's all he does, is my perception. And then when he moves into that holding midfield role, nobody's told him that actually the opposition are allowed to tackle you, because he stands there looking about, deciding what he's going to do. Some guy comes in and dispossesses him and runs off with the ball.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If he's a Celtic player, he's a centre back. But he's good in terms of, like I said, he's comfortable on his left foot. So you don't get these situations where the problem with, and I noticed it last season as well with Simunovic, who played on the left some of the time, and Europe in particular. If you press a guy who's not confident, who's playing on the left side and isn't confident on his left foot, if you press him at the right angle, he will make a mistake. In fact, I remember it was one of the European games at Celtic Park, one of the group stage games. And in the first minute, Simunovic got the ball and he got forced onto his left foot, and he tried to play it to Tierney and he put it straight out in the park, and it was like a 7-8 yard pass. And it's the same problem, that if you press a guy at the right angle, the right pace, and you don't overcommit so that he can just drop the shoulder and go past you, then he will make a mistake. And that goes for all the guys, apart from Mulgrew, just because he's confident on his left side. I think he is quite solid defensively. And if someone can just say to him, look, see if you do X, Y, and Z instead of this, this, and this, then he would be a very solid player. But it does the same things, like you say. Someone said to him, you know, you can hit diagonals like Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, I'm just going to do that all the time. And so if we're going to bring in a centre-half, and there's been rumours left, right, and centre, then he's going to have to be confident on his left. Otherwise, we're going to have a problem in possession at the back. And that's not, you know, when you're starting, you know, if you're building out from the back, then the problems in possession, it's not great that it starts with the first guy who receives the ball.
I mean, one of the things that got me was, it was starting to look to me as if he was going to go in tonight, right up until the last friendly game. It looked to me as if he was going to go into tonight with Janko, Tierney, Sviatchenko and Ayer as the back four. Because Ayer had played the majority of pre-season friendlies. Suddenly Ambrose came in for a game and a half and then he started.
Yeah. Well, I think it was that Ambrose was late because some kind of visa issue, I think it was.
Right.
And so he was training with the development squad, and then once he got his visa sorted, he came in, and then he'd only been there a day or two, and then that was when we played the third game, and then he played the last game. So he's obviously come in, and Rodgers has just gone, right, it's going to be Ambrose. It wasn't that necessarily that Ayer was being picked ahead of Ambrose, it was that Ambrose wasn't there in the first place. In Slovenia.
Yeah.
And so that's probably why that he's just gone for Ambrose, in terms of experience, you know. Not necessarily that Ambrose's experience is necessarily excellent, but, you know, to throw a guy in, he's only, what, 17, 18? Maybe it's a risk.
On the other hand, he's played first 20... I understand your point, and I often think that when people have been criticising about, you know, Ronnie as well, why is he sticking Ambrose? And you think, well, because actually, Ambrose is an interesting, and to analyse Ambrose's career would be interesting. He's an internationalist. We thought he was doing a great job until the Juventus game. When he, because, you know, if you remember, Juventus game had been away at the African Nations Cup, and it was all willy won't he for Lennon playing Ambrose when he was only just back. And he did, and the criticism of Lennon when Ambrose mucked up that night was, well, the guy had been partying for a couple of days and he shouldn't have played him.
Yeah, well, it was the Sunday. He played the African Nations Cup final on the Sunday, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He came back on the Monday night and we were playing Juventus on the Tuesday night. And Lennon put him in the team, and since then it's just been a downward slope. But I saw, you know, when the rumours about him moving to Leverkusen came out a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
And someone had retweeted a lot of tweets from like the first month that Ambrose signed, and it was, Ambrose looks like a more technical version of Wanyama. Ambrose looks like Celtic's own Yaya Toure. Ambrose is amazing. Just these... And it was, I remember, it was a cup game. He played in midfield and that was his debut. And after the game, after he's going, who's this guy? How have we got him for 1.5 million? He comes in, he was excellent. That was the season that we made the last 16. As you said, that was the Juventus game. He played in the two games we played against Barcelona when they struggled against our defence.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember commenting that the thing that was great about him was, because we were defending so deep, his leap from a standing start to make clearances was fantastic.
Yeah. I think this is what I generally think about Ambrose is that he is a very good footballer. He's got all the physical capability that you need. He's a good passer of the ball. He's decent technically. But what happens is when he's got the ball and he doesn't have an option, immediately he panics.
Yeah.
And when he panics, he goes, right, I'm going to have to go by two guys here to make a pass, or I'm going to have to try an outrageous pass. And then he does that. And then as soon as he makes one mistake now, it's, you know, the team gets nervous, the stadium gets nervous, yeah, if we're playing at home. And that, I always think Ambrose is good enough relative to the level of player that we've had over the last couple of years. Ambrose is good enough to play for Celtic, but it's gone now.
Yeah. I think it's all in his head.
And in ours as well, as supporters, that
yeah,
as soon as anything happens, you know, like last year he played 10 good games in a row, I remember. And then he made, and it wasn't even a big mistake. It was, he made a slack pass or something and the opposition got in and, you know, maybe had a shot. And after that, the whole game, it was nervous. And then there was the mistake against Fenerbahce last season.
Yep.
But the problem is that even if he plays good, if he played from now till Christmas, if he made one mistake, the manager would be just slaughtered for playing him.
And I often think, Ronnie, I can imagine a situation where in training, because patently he has it for a period of time, been a decent player for us. So I can imagine where, in training, week in, day out, last season, Ronnie Dyer was looking, thinking, but he's a good player.
Well.
And then he's not been in the team, and then we come up with the need for whoever's been playing centre-half gets injured or suspended. And I can see the manager thinking, but you know what? He's been a standout in training every week. Patently, his problem's all in his head, sitting down with him, having a chat with him, getting to concentrate and thinking, I think I've got it here. Putting him in the team, and he came, like, we played away to Hearts at Tynecastle last season. And I remember on Twitter, he played towards the second half of the season, everybody saying, and the most amazing thing was how well Ambrose played today.
Yeah.
And then the following week goes to Celtic Park and makes a mess of it, and everybody says, well, what do you expect? He was useless. I don't know why the manager played him.
yeah. It's such an interesting. I speak to a lot of supporters of other Glasgow teams, we'll say, and they slate him, and I say he's never been as bad as people make out. And a case I make is the guy has been capped so many times for Nigeria, who are by no means a bad team. He was, I believe, a player of the tournament or in the team of the tournament when they won the African Nations yeah. Cup. He has played good and he's done well playing in the Champions League. He has been picked time and again by Neil Lennon, by Ronnie Dyla, and Rodgers has picked him. So you've got all these things that say he's played at World Cups that say, God, this guy's a good player. So all those things, you think, how does a guy, if he's as bad as we have him to be in our head, then how does the guy get to that position? To the, you know, the point where he's doing all these, he's made all these excellent achievements, and yet the overwhelming message about Ambrose is the guy's hopeless. He can't even play football.
Yeah, and that's, again, and I'm not defending it because, you know, he made the mistake and, you know, he makes mistakes and he made mistakes, you know, get booked inside 10 minutes and all that stuff. I'm not defending him. All I'm saying is, so in exactly the same way, I can imagine Brendan Rodgers looked at the videos last season and then gets him in training because there patently must be a player in there, or there is a player in there, looked at him in training and thought, maybe I'm the guy who gets him back to playing the way he played in his first 18 months at Celtic.
Yeah. That seems to be the only explanation, is that he is an excellent player, but it's these things that, like you said, it's in his head, and it's these mad moments where he panics, and it doesn't happen in training because there's no pressure in training.
Yeah.
Or he's just, you know, not quite as much pressure. I'm sure they're playing at a high level and everything. But if he makes a mistake, then nothing really happens. He's just made a mistake and that's it. But he's not got that thing where something happens and it costs the team. So he's an excellent player in training. He plays to his ability. He probably doesn't panic because he doesn't have that thing in his head. And so every manager he has goes, look at this guy, he's a great player. Like you say, I can maybe get him back to where he was if I just get his head right. And then something happens again. And it's the same thing where, like you say, I think it's in his head now, in all of our heads, where he can't be the player he was because there's just this psychological thing hanging over him now with, and he must know what the fans think of him as well. When he comes on, and as soon as he does everything, and you hear 50,000 people going,
Do you play golf?
I don't know.
No, it's just, I play golf, right? And see, when I'm playing, if I was to go up the course tonight, I would nail every putt I had from 4 feet.
Yeah.
See, if I go and play, was to go and play in a meadow, because sometimes I miss those putts, and I should be sinking them. I know I would stand out, and so if I'm playing my own, I would just walk up and I'll just knock it in. I wouldn't even think about it. So anybody who plays golf will understand this. If I play in a meadow, see if I miss one of those putts inside the first two or three holes, I will miss them for the whole round. Because as I'm standing over every single one of them, I'll be thinking, oh, you can't miss this, Brian. The guys are gonna think you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It's exactly that.
For me, Effie Ambrose is 100%. It was the second last game of the season at home to
Aberdeen. It came on and something happened in the whole stadium.
Yeah, because we were comfortable. We were winning the game comfortably. So the whole
we were 3-0 up.
The whole team had decided we'd already won the game when Effie came on. So he came on with that laissez-faire mindset, and he passed to them inside the 5 minutes of coming on, nearly gave them a goal, and then was at fault for their goals.
That's it. It's like I say, he's a great, oh, not a great player, he's a very decent player, but the psychological thing is so, it's so huge at this point that he can't ever recover at Celtic. Maybe he goes to another team, they don't really know him, he doesn't have that reputation, he's got that thing out of his head where he's thinking, the fans don't trust me, my teammates don't trust me, and he just goes and he plays with the kind of freedom that he did in the first 18 months or so that he was at Celtic. But it's never going to happen for him here. And in terms of Ayer, like you were saying, you know, I don't understand. Maybe he has played at a decent level. I think it was just, maybe like you said, Rodgers are thinking, right, I can make a player out of this guy. Because I think Rodgers prides himself on that.
Yep.
That what he's known for is being a great man manager. And you know, I've heard someone like Gerrard saying, you know, all the managers I've had, there's nobody that's ever made me feel as confident about myself as Rodgers did. And so I think Rodgers may be thinking, okay, I can be the guy. But maybe tonight will be the final straw. Rodgers will just go, nah, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, talking of formations, I've just had a text from someone who's suggested system that we play is 4-4-2 with Armstrong and Roberts coming in for Rogic, and I don't know who else it would be. What's your thoughts on that?
My first thought is that Rogers won't play it. He's never
Armstrong and Robertson for and Beaton dropped.
So it would be Roberts on the right, Christie on the left, with Armstrong and Brown in the middle.
Yep.
You know, it could work, but like I said, he won't play it. You know, and when he got the job, and I was looking back at old interviews and things that he'd said and the games that he'd played and all the different formations, and I kid you not, I watched a few games, I read, you know, reports from games when he was at Liverpool. The guy has played every formation under the sun apart from 4-4-2.
Right.
Because his thought process is, we want to dominate the centre of the park, and we need to have at least as many players in there as the opposition. And so, ultimately 4-4-2, that's what you've got. You've got two in there.
Yep.
It's just not gonna be something he goes with. But you can almost name any other formation, and he'll have played it under. I wrote briefly about it on the site that at Liverpool alone, and I just found this in 10 or 15 minutes research where he'd played 4-3-3. 4-1-4-1, 4-2-3-1, 3-5-2, 3-4-3, 3-6-1, a 4-4-2 diamond. But key to any formation is he wants to have three or more players in the centre of the park. And so 4-4-2 is just about the only formation that he won't play, which will not please a lot of people, especially on Celtic Twitter.
So do you have confidence that we're going to see an improvement under Rodgers to what we've seen in the last few years?
I do. I think under Dyla, it's probably the weakest aspect of his game was setting up a team and their ability to break down teams. In terms of the possession game, the build-up game, that was Dyla's weakest point for me. And what I've seen of Rodgers is that's his strongest point. That is his biggest thing. I spoke to a couple of Liverpool fans, I know, people who I know are, you know, watch the game sort of in the way that I do, and the message was, started off quite shaky. There was absolute gradual improvement over that first 6 months to a year, where the team got better in possession, they created more chances, they pressed better. And so that tells me that, yeah, it's not ideal so far, but it will get better. I remember Rodgers' first European tie, he nearly got knocked out of the Europa League by Hearts.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a track record of improving teams, but then again, so did Ronnie Dyla. And that never quite worked out. But I think Rodgers, his approach to the game, his philosophy, is more suited to what we need as a team, in terms of, we're a team who's always, especially domestically, always going to have the ball. So you need a manager who's good at coaching a team, at creating chances. And so Rodgers is just more suitable than Dyla to the team before you even go into, you know, their levels of ability as a manager.
So not necessarily the players, but what do you think he needs to bring into the team over and above what we've got in the current squad?
So what type of player do you think we need to add to the squad?
Yeah. I mean, as I say, not specifically the player, but, you know, a striker who does XYZ.
Skill set, yeah. Like I said, a centre-back constant on the left-hand side, I think that'll be key to getting his build-up play more, you know, comfortable. I'm not sold on Beaton. As, you know, this, you know, Rodgers called it the controller, you know, the deepest sitting midfielder if you're playing a 4-3-3. I'm not sold on him, so that's more of a whether he's going to do that. Obviously, there's all the chat about Joe Allen, which that's never going to happen. But when I heard about beat on going to Spain, Espanyol, I think it was, that was the rumour, and Johansson going to Galatasaray, and I thought, you sell those two guys, you can get in £6-7 million, you can sign a really, you know, the best defensive midfielder in almost all leagues in Europe. You know, maybe not the top four or five, but if you go to Austria or Switzerland or Belgium, you can probably pick up the best defensive midfielder in that league for £5 or £6 million. Someone really excellent. So maybe in that position, I still think he's wanting to add a wide player. We've got Roberts, who he might not be sold on. Forrest, who I don't think any of us are sold on. We don't know what's happening. We don't know if he's going to stay at the club. I'm not sure Gary Mackay-Stevens has got it, so he's looking for maybe an out-and-out winger type player, someone with pace. Scott Sinclair is the one that we've been linked with time and again, and that wouldn't shock me at all. But I think I said this when Dyla left and we're looking for a new manager, that there is a squad there. The guys that are in that squad should be good enough to win the league and get us into the Champions League. I genuinely believe that. Any manager should be good enough to take what's there and get it into the Champions League, in my opinion.
Although it's interesting tonight because I read fans saying what you've just said. I remember Tom English and Steve McGowan in particular were very big on a half-decent manager would get 15-20% more out of that squad. Well, either they're wrong. You could argue they're either wrong or Rodgers isn't a half-decent manager because they were dreadful tonight.
I think they were wrong on the basis that Ronnie Dyla, for all his faults, is clearly a half-decent manager. You don't, as a manager, you don't win league titles in two different countries by the age of 40, win cups. He took Strong Godset, who were a cannon fodder relegation material team, to league champions in 5 years. And people say, oh, it's only Norway. But if you're going to say it's only Norway, then it's only Scotland.
Yeah.
Those leagues aren't that different. Ronnie Dyla was a decent manager. There was things that he certain things he didn't have. But there's no matter what manager you bring here, no manager is going to come here who is close to perfect. You know, Rodgers has flaws, Dyla has flaws, all these guys. But I think, getting back to your point about what you said about a half-decent manager can get 10 or 20% out of this team, Rodgers is more suitable, and I think it's easy to say, to overreact to tonight. It was a bad game. Maybe certain all the factors that we've mentioned about why it might have happened. Just teams just have games like that, and it just happened to be that it was Rodgers' first game. I think that as much as anything else. I don't think Rodgers isn't a good manager. I think he is. I think the team that we've got there is far better than they showed. It's just a case of a few tweaks, and it'll be a different story. I think we'll see a different story next week, especially.
You talked about not being sold on Beaton. A lot of fans on Twitter, and not even just tonight, over the summer when they were talking about what Rodgers might do, there's been a lot of hinting or certainly in comment from people on the possibility that Brown wouldn't feature, that Brown will be eased out. And again tonight, the big thing people have been saying is Brown and Beaton in the middle was just dire. Can you see, go back to Martin O'Neill arriving? The team that played in the first two or three games of Martin O'Neill's era were nothing like the team that were playing within 6 months of Martin O'Neill being manager. Can you see the same thing under Rodgers?
I can see there being significant changes, and you say that about Martin O'Neill. You can only go far back as Ronnie Dyla. I remember saying to someone, do you remember the first team that Dyla put out in a competitive game? And it was Pookie. Griffiths was playing on the right wing. Charlie Mulgrew was playing. Fraser Forster was in the team at the time. The team that Dialog was playing in those qualifiers compared to the team that played against Inter Milan was entirely different. And I can see that. I mean, you talked about Brown there, and I just don't see it. I mean, I looked at the way that Gerrard and how he dealt with that. Gerrard was much in the way of Brown, the captain. He was a big figure in the team. Not, you know, he doesn't have the same status with the Celtic fans as Gerrard did with the Liverpool fans, of course. But he was on the road out, and Rodgers stuck with him and tried to get the best out of him. And so when people said about Brown, and I was thinking, yeah, maybe, but I don't see it happening. So Brown, we'll keep seeing. But yeah, I think there is, you know, a lot that 6 months down the road we could be going, you know, remember the team you put out against Lincoln? God, where are those guys? In terms of probably Effie, maybe Beaton. I don't actually see Rodgers having a huge role under Rodgers.
He's too slow for me.
Yeah.
I keep making the point. Rodgers will come on in a game with 15, 20 minutes to go and look great, and everybody will marvel at him. This was last season, obviously. He will then start the following week and be substituted after about 50 minutes, and you could have really substituted him after 20 minutes because he was anonymous. He seems to be a player who, when the game is already stretched and he's got time and space, he can utilise that. For me, he's not got the pace to be the player that people think he can be.
I think in domestic games at Celtic Park in particular, I can see him playing those games. But see, when it comes to European games, where when Rodgers is looking for pressing from the midfield, Rodgers isn't the guy. And especially Rodgers isn't the guy when you've got Beaton in the team, who's got similar problems in terms of mobility, albeit in a deeper role. But when you've got a midfield three, if you've got if you've got Beaton and Rodgers there, then it's slow. It's very slow.
Yeah,
and I thought that when people were saying, when Rodgers came in and were saying, you know, 4-3-3, and I'm thinking, where is the role for Rodgers? Because Rodgers can't really play in a 4-3-3. It's too deep for him. He's really, Rodgers is the Riquelme type guy, a kind of lazy number 10. He's not going to provide you much in the defensive side at all.
4-4-2 in a diamond?
Yeah, I can see that working. I can see that working for him. But yeah, that's possible. But I think my point would be then that if he's going to play a diamond, I don't think Roger would be his first port of call. I think it would probably be Christie, just based on the fact that Christie's played more than Robert maybe playing that role.
The thing I've noticed in pre-season is how much game time Christie's had.
Yeah, and I've been impressed by him. I think he's been good. And absolutely, you can see that. And I said before about how, you know, you thought maybe the front three would be Roberts, Griffiths and Dembele, and that I said maybe none of those guys suit the left. And Christie is probably, at this point in time, the best option we've got on that side. And Rodgers obviously agrees, given the fact that he's picked him. And I think he does add a lot. He's clearly a skillful player, but he doesn't have that. Well, I mean, I heard Rodgers talking about Scott Allen, who, you know, we've heard plenty about Scott Allen, about how, you know, he developed this kind of mythical sense of the fact that he was an unbelievable player just by not playing.
Yeah.
But Christie has the skills that Allen doesn't. I heard Rodgers saying, you know, Scott Allen's a really intelligent, talented player, really good skills. He's good energy in the pressing. But we need to educate him as to how to play the game.
Which is similar, actually. I remember having a bit of a debate with St. Anthony on Twitter when Ronnie Dyler said Scott Allen needs to learn that not every ball needs to be a forward pass.
Yeah.
St. Anthony was criticising because we don't make forward passes. But I understand that if, say, for instance, Scott Allen makes 10 passes in a game, all of them are forward. And 9 of them go straight to a defender who then goes, they then come back up the park and attack against us, then
Yeah.
The forward passes were a waste of time.
Yeah, to St. Anthony's point, and of course, it was right to an extent that we didn't play enough forward passes, but the remedy to not playing enough forward passes is not too many forward passes.
Yeah, and so, by the sounds of things, both Ronnie Dyer and Brendan Rodgers are saying the same thing about Scott Allen. He's got an ability to do something. We just need to get him to understand he doesn't. There's different balls for different occasions.
Yeah, decision making in the right situation, when to play the pass. And you've seen, I mean, I remember it was Ajax, the game, and he came on, and we never really done much. And he came on, and the first pass he played, it was an incredible pass. Put Griffiths in one on one with the goalkeeper out of nothing. Like, 1 second, he's got the ball, doesn't really look dangerous, and the next thing, Lee Griffiths is one on one with the goalkeeper. And you think that's the ability that guy's got. But clearly, as Dyer said, and as Rodgers has clearly seen as well, that he's got that ability, and so he thinks he's always got to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to make that pass because I can't, as opposed to if someone can teach him, listen, you play this ball in this situation, sometimes it's just a case of playing the ball to a teammate, a simple pass that maybe shifts the opposition, and you just wait for the right opening, whereas he's always trying to force it.
So, it's really difficult to judge a manager. I mean, much as that's the way the world is these days, and I'm not defending the fact that we should be beating this team, but it's really difficult to judge a manager with one signing of his own, 2.5 weeks into him coaching the players.
Of course.
So my gut feel is he needs to thump them next week at Celtic Park just to put everybody back in a good mood and for everybody to go, oh, that was just a wee
one-off.
These things happen. What's your expectation for next week?
I would expect exactly that. I would expect us to probably beat them 4 or 5-0 and people to say, oh, you know, call it a mishap, whatever. Set the conditions, the situation just never went for us and it never happened. I don't see it being a struggle. By the same token, I don't see it absolutely killing them. You know, 10-0, like you said at the start. But I think we'll get there fairly comfortably. It's that Celtic Park thing where if we score in the first 20 minutes, things will just be fine. And if we don't, then people will start to panic.
This was not the idea of what I was expecting from your first appearance on the podcast?
No, I'd probably agree with that. That was not, you know, when you said to me and I was like, you know, you said after the game and I was like, yeah, that's a nice easy start. We can spend 5-10 minutes on the game and then we can talk more generally. And then as the game went on, I'm going, this is not going to be the conversation I'd had planned. So,
do you know what? I actually, for a variety of reasons, missed their goal, came back in and saw it was 1-0. And you know that way you check it 2 or 3 times because you're thinking, is that really 1-0 to them?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yes. Not the best.
No. Anyway. Maybe in future we'll have a better starting off point.
Yeah, so hopefully we thump them in the return leg and then we can have a more and we get some decent players in and we can have a more detailed chat about how the team's playing under Brendan.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be good to maybe see them after a while in more competitive games and we can see how the team's actually shaping up as opposed to after one game, really.
Yeah. All right, Jack. Well, maybe a better podcast next time.
Yeah, better luck next time, yeah. Right. Thanks for having me.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while.
I hope you enjoyed that podcast. As I say, if you've got new music that you want on the podcast, then it's podcasts@celticunderground.net. It's podcasts@celticunderground.net. If you want to get your Celtic story onto the podcast, whether it be the game you remember best, the game that is most horrific in your memory, the game you missed that you should have made, whatever the story is, the game that really matters to you, then you can write it down and email it to us and we'll have it narrated, or you can send us an audio file, again to podcasts@celticunderground.net. So that was the podcast of the utter farce that was the Gibraltar game. We have the Celtic Underground Top 10. The results are in, they're being counted and verified, and it'll be a podcast along soon where we will let you know that Lee Griffiths won. Anyway, we'll be also reviewing the other players. That's enough from me. That was me, Harry Brady, with him, Jack Lyon. You can find him on Twitter, and that was also Room 42, who also can be found on Twitter and SoundCloud. This is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.
Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me